Well, big game tonight. Everybody knows that. In a minute, I'm going to ask you who you're pulling for. Can't have anybody in between, okay? I'm going to ask for a vote here in just a second. I want to ask you, you got to raise your hand, because I know there's some of you out there that really don't care. I mean, it's kind of like me. I mean, you don't really watch pro football but about once a year, and that's on the Super Bowl, and the main reason you do is just to get with other friends and watch commercials. I mean, that's why you do it, you know, eat. But there's some of you out there that are passionate, and so I'm going to ask you in just a minute if you're pulling for the Colts or the Bears. And now for some of you ladies, if this will help, the Bears are blue and orange, okay? Because I need colors sometimes, that's the way, blue and orange, and the Colts are blue and white, okay? How many people are going to be pulling for the Colts tonight? Raise your hands. I didn't ask you to scream, all I ask you to do is raise your hand. How many people are pulling for the Bears tonight? Wow! That's like 99%. 99% Colts, but I wasn't surprised not being here. Well, yesterday I was at Best Buy and I was in the TV section and I was looking at TVs, and the guy who's the manager of that department, they had 12 salespeople there yesterday working around, working, talking with people about TVs. The guy there said, the manager over that department said yesterday that the day before the Super Bowl, the Saturday before the Super Bowl, is the busiest day for TVs of the entire year. And I just kind of looked at him, I was like, and he said, well, you know, there's the day after Thanksgiving, but maybe not as much about TVs. He said, the day before the Super Bowl is the biggest, I mean, you couldn't hardly walk through the TV section. People were everywhere. People wanted to see it in a little bit different, a little bit bigger screen or a little bit higher definition. Well, if you've, I don't know what kind of TV you have, if you're familiar with high definition, you've probably heard about it. You know, you've probably walked through the TV section and done your wishing like I've done, like, you know, forever. You just kind of walk through and you look at them and, you know, you kind of walk through and you look at them. Well, if you don't know about high definition, it's completely different than standard TV. Last week I talked about TiVo, today I'm talking about TVs, okay? If you ever see a high definition TV, if you don't have one or you've never seen one, it's completely different, completely different. Now, for somebody even like me who knows nothing about technology, sound, lighting, anything like that, I really don't know. You can look, and there's a huge difference. Not only is there a difference just in the way it looks, I mean, it's about four times, sometimes greater than that, clearer. That's the best way I know. Sharper. It's incredible. When you're standing in the store and you see a high-definition TV next to a standard TV, or you see a high-definition TV against another high-definition TV that's more high-definition against another, you can tell the difference. It's amazing. And even like on a 27-inch TV, if you get one, most high-definition TVs are now made kind of widescreen format, you get about 33% more TV, even on the same inches, just because it's kind of 33% more picture because it's wider. The sound is better. It's clearer. It's more distinct. It's more precise. What we're going to talk about this morning, hopefully, as we sang about just a while ago, is that Jesus is more than enough for us. Sometimes what we need to do, and probably I say sometimes, just about every day what we need to do, is step back and get just a little bit clearer picture of who Jesus is. That's what I hope we can do this morning, is to get a little bit clearer picture of who Jesus is. We're going to talk about high-def Jesus this morning. How do we step back from not just the Jesus maybe that we've always grown up with, maybe not just the Jesus that we've known since we've become a Christian, maybe not just the Jesus that we've known for the last year, but how does Jesus want to be seen? What does the Scripture say about who Jesus is? What does He look like? Well, we're going to start with this premise. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. He's more than enough. If He was all that we had, He would be enough. If there wasn't anything else, if there wasn't any fellowships or Bible studies, if there wasn't anything else related to the Christian life, if there wasn't anything else, He's enough. Now, out of who He is, we want to do those things and be those things, but He's enough. That's what we want to keep first and foremost in our thinking and throughout this morning, that it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not yet a follower of Christ, it's important to know that there's a lot of terms, there's a lot of terminology, there's a lot of titles, there's a lot of taglines that really don't make a whole lot of difference when it comes to being a follower of Christ. Sometimes those terms are terms like evangelical. Now, that I grew up with that. That was a healthy term. We use it even in some of our writings, some of our mission statements and core values about who we are as a church. I've always thought that was a healthy term, but for a lot of people, that's not a very healthy term. They look at evangelical and they think, man, evangelical. When I hear evangelical, I hear about evangelicals on the news. And they're just angry. You know? They just hate gay people. And they hate people who's ever had an abortion. That's an evangelical in a lot of people's mind. So it's not a really positive term in a lot of people's minds. So we don't need to get caught up in what terminology or taglines or titles. So if you're here this morning, you're not yet a follower of Christ, it's okay. You don't have to get caught up in evangelical. We had somebody come to a new member class not long ago, and when they said, one of the first things they said when they came to our new member class was, I'm looking for a church that's not evangelical. Well, it made the skin crawl on a lot of our staff. We're evangelical. I mean, you know. But what I think what that person was thinking was what they see and hear. For some people, the term Christianity, those who may not be a follower of Christ, is not a positive term. If they're familiar with history, and they go back centuries ago and they think about people who killed in the name of Christianity, it's not a lot different from today with some other religions, people killed in the name of Christianity. Christianity is not a positive term. For some people, the word Christian is not a positive term. It's what they see on the news. It's what they hear about other people. It's the Christian that they know, and they know that they don't want to be like that person. For some people, it's the word conservative. You know, I'm a conservative evangelical Christian. I mean, how many times have you heard people say that? They hear the word conservative, and they think Republican. They think anti-poor. They think pro-war. What we're talking about, if you're not a follower of Christ, is not any of those things. We're not talking about Christian or Christianity or conservative or evangelical. We're talking about Jesus because that's all that matters. He's all that matters. And we're always going to come up with terms to try to define Him. Maybe one of the most beautiful terms that we don't use a whole lot is liberal, because it scares us in our theology to think liberal. But we want to be liberal with His love. Liberal with who He is. And so we're always going to struggle with terminology. So don't get caught up in the titles. It's all about Jesus. It's all about who He is. It's about the person. John the Baptist said this. John the Baptist is one of the first on the scene we see in the New Testament, and he's baptizing people because they're coming to change their life. They're coming out to John the Baptist in the desert and they're being baptized. It's John the Baptizer. He wasn't a Baptist denomination. He was a baptizer. And he was baptizing people and people were coming out to him and they were saying, I want to change my life. I want to repent of my sins. And John says this, there's one greater than me that's coming after me. And as much as your life is being changed right now, as much as you feel like God's doing something in you, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He's going to come and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to change you from the inside out. It'll no longer just be a baptism of repentance where you'll try to go off and change and do it in your own power. But he's going to come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And you'll have a power within you for change that you'll always be able to depend on. It's all about him. It's not about me, John said. It's all about him. And if you're a seeker here this morning and you're thinking about, man, when I think about becoming a Christian, when I think about becoming a follower of Christ, there's all these images sometimes that come to your mind. It's those images about, well, I got to start dressing different, you know, because, I mean, I know what Christians, I think, look like. I've got to start wearing a certain clothes. I've got to start having different friends. I can't have my friends anymore. Not true. Start thinking, oh, I got to get rid of all my music. I can only listen to Christian music. I can only watch Christian movies. I can only watch Christian TV. And so we get caught up in what we feel like. We think it needs to be what it is about to becoming a Christian. And what will help you more than anything else is if you'll just pick up the word for yourself and read about just who Jesus was. Read about what he looked like. Read about the people he hung out with. And it'll dissolve any notions that you have about what it means to be a Christian today. Why? Because it's all about who Jesus is. And for believers, the hard part is this. For us who are followers of Christ, for us the hard part is sometimes it's the fact that we have an idea of Jesus, but it's not the right idea. It's just kind of standard fuzzy TV. You've bought a high definition TV and you don't have the high definition cable hooked up yet, and it's just kind of fuzzy, you know? It's kind of fuzzy. We got this fuzzy idea of who Jesus is. We've not yet tuned in to what he really looks like. Maybe we started off, maybe as a follower of Christ, we started off with this, man, I feel like I know who Jesus is. I feel like I know he's my passion. He is the only thing that matters, and I want to be just like him. He's all that matters. And somewhere along the way, we just kind of went off track. We went off into a different direction. Remember what it's like when you go to, I remember when I went to college, and going to college, and you're thinking, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to try to find a major, and I'm going to sign up for these classes, and you get there, and you're like, you're just set on your classes. You know, you've registered for your classes, and you got your little day timer, you got your little schedule, and this is my blocks of classes on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and these are my blocks of study time, and I've got it all, and I've got it all planned out, and I go buy my books, you know, and I know everything that I'm supposed to do. But then you're there for about 2 weeks, and you start meeting people, you know, and you start making friends, and there's ball games to go to, and there's people to hang out with, and people invite you to do stuff with them on the weekend, and then all of a sudden, about halfway through the semester, you're like, these classes are really getting in the way of college. I mean, they're just kind of cramping my style, you know. It's like you start something, and you have this idea of what you're going to be doing, what it's about, and then you get into it, and you just kind of go into a different direction. That's what it's like sometimes for us as believers. We start off well, but then we end up living our lives more trying not to feel guilty than we do trying to become like Jesus. And that becomes the motivation for us. We begin to focus more on attendance to things than we do our lives being actually changed. And we begin to focus on more about just hearing about him than actually talking to him and knowing him. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. If you would, turn there. Colossians 1. And in Colossians, as Paul writes this letter to the church at Colossae, he says this, beginning in verse 17 is where we're going to pick up. And there may be a tagline at the top of this section for you in your Bible that says, the supremacy of Christ, or the supreme Christ. You know what that means? That means this, that Christ is all that matters. It means that he's number one. It means that he's to be supreme in everything. That's what Paul's saying. He's all that matters. Let's look at verse 17, chapter 1. It says this, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What's that mean? It means that Jesus existed before anything else existed, and that everything in the world, be it nature or your friendships or your family or relationships, everything holds together because of Jesus. If it wasn't for him, life would be chaos. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, that in everything he might have the supremacy. What's that mean? That in everything he might be first. That in everything, he's all that matters. Look at verse 18. He's the head of the body, the church. He's what gives followers of Christ direction. He's the eyes and the ears and the nose and the mouth of the church. He's the head. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. What's that mean? He's the beginning. He was in the beginning when there was no beginning. And he's the firstborn from among the dead. What's that mean? He's the first one to be raised, the firstborn from among the dead. That among the dead people, he was the first one to be born again. He's the first one to be raised from the dead. Not only was he the first one to be raised from the dead, he was the first one to raise himself from the dead. Other people may have come back to life, but they didn't raise themselves. He's all that matters, Paul's saying. It's all about him. Now look at verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. What's that mean? Jesus, the person that we follow, the man that we model our lives after, was God All his fullness dwelled in him. Verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. It's through Jesus that we are made right. It's through Jesus that we are forgiven and have peace. Look at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in the faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. What's Paul saying? In those seven verses, he's saying this. He's all that matters. Church at Colossae, however you came to know him, whatever's going on in your present circumstances, he's all that matters. It's all about him. Don't get caught up in anything else. But it's easy for us to make the goal about other things. We get sidetracked. We fall into illusions of what really matters. We begin to spend our lives and devote our time and our attention and our thoughts and our passion to things that don't matter. We begin to devote days and weeks and months and years to things that don't matter when he's all that matters. It's easy for us to get off on the wrong track. I don't know if any of you heard this week about the TV news truck in Milwaukee. There was a TV news truck that goes out to cover a story about there's a lot of snow and a lot of ice there, and they're going out to cover a story about how thin the ice is in some places. You know, it's one of those on location deals. And the TV news truck falls through the ice as they're trying to do the story on how thin the ice is in this location. Okay? One of those TV news trucks that's filled with equipment. And you know why? The reason it fell through the ice was that the driver is out on the ice. It's snow-covered ice, and he thinks he's on the road. He goes way, way, way out on the ice thinking he's on the road. They get out of the van thinking that they're going to cover a story, and they're over the water themselves. The news report said that they were 150 yards from the nearest boat ramp. That's how far out he was, and they fell into the water. You know what happens in our lives sometimes is we go where we think that this is the best road. We begin to spend our lives and go places that we think this is the road, but it's really not the road. It really isn't. And so often what we'll do is we'll begin to spend our lives on ideas that we think are correct, on systems. Let me explain this. The way we spend our lives on systems. As a Christian, we become a Christian. We have this passion for Christ, and then we try to systematize it all, you know? And we begin to put all of our hope and all of our energy and all of our thoughts that to be a good Christian is about the system that I have for reading the Bible or not reading the Bible or coming to church or not coming to church. And if I do those things and don't do those things, that will make me a better or worse person. Will it help you? Yes. Is it all about that? No. It's not the primary focus. And so we begin to create systems about church attendance and reading our Bible and helping the poor. Whatever your system is, and you begin to think about, how can I make sense of this Christian life? I tell you what I'll do. I'll just develop a system and I'll move from point A to point B. And if I move from point A to point B, then point C will make me holier. It's all about systems. It's about coming up with things, and it's about executing those things, and it's about coming to completion with those things. And if I do those things, then I'll be closer to Jesus. That's not what it's about. It's not about systems. It's not about ideas. How do we do that in the Christian life? Well, some Christians, the ideas are this, that we get sidetracked from what it's most about, who it's most about, which is Jesus, and we begin to be enamored and in love with ideas like real community. You'll hear us talk a lot here about community and the value of that and where we feel like that comes from the Scripture. But some people, some churches, some believers begin to make community the goal. And it's all about, it's just that if we can just grow closer, if we can just study the Bible more with fewer people, And just keep on doing that and keep on getting to know each other better and just keep on getting to know each other better and just keep on growing together and loving each other. That's what it's all about. And listen, you'll find churches everywhere that it's all about community. And they've elevated community above the person of Jesus and who He was about and what He was about. For some churches, that's the driving force. For some people, it's the idea, there's some believers, that's the idea of it's building relationships so that we can share Christ. It's relational evangelism. You'll hear us talk a lot about that. But for some places, you'll go, that's what it's all about. It's all about that. It's building relationships. It's finding people. It's getting to know people, getting to know your neighbors, getting to know the people that you work with so that you can share Jesus with them. That's it. Sum total in a box. That's all it's about. But it's partial. Because there's a world, see, evangelism that's greater than just relational evangelism. There's people around the world who need to know Jesus, just like there's people right here that need to know Jesus. It's not that that's bad. It's just this. Listen, it's not about a system. It's not about an idea. You and I so easily can get caught up in the idea to where that's what we think about and that's what matters, and it's not about Jesus. It's not about systems or ideas, and it's not about movements. It's not about movements. Man, do we have a lot to be thankful for of what God's done here in the past year. It's beautiful to see people's lives that are being changed, what God's been doing. But it would be easy to get caught up into a movement of what God's doing and what God wants to do in this area. And sometimes you'll hear believers talk about the greater movement, the greater purpose of what God's trying to do. Listen, it's not about ideas or systems or movements. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. And when you and I begin to read for ourselves and we begin to talk to Him for ourselves and we begin to see the totality of what He's about, you and I will discover, just like Peter did, when Jesus had gotten through with a teaching much, 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 much larger than this, and at the end of it, a bunch of people left Him. They turned away because it was a tough thing to hear. And Jesus turned to His disciples and He turned to Peter and He said, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter said, "Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You're all that matters. It's all about you. It's all about you." And I can find pleasure in systems. You know why? Because systems help me feel like I have a self-accomplishment, individual accomplishment. If I can put things into a system and then I do those things, then I'll feel better about myself. I can get caught up in ideas, and so can you. You know why? Because ideas give us purpose. They give us a cause to live for. And sometimes our ideas and our causes are not as spiritual as the ones that I've outlined a while ago. It can just be whatever it is that we spend most of our time on and focusing and living for. And I can focus on that because it gives me a purpose. I can get caught up into a movement. You know why? Because it's bigger than me and it's inspiring to talk about movements. But you know what I can't do? I can't love them. I can't love those things. You and I can't love the ideas or the systems or the movements or the things that we spend our lives on outside of Jesus. We can't fall in love with those things. There's only one that you can really love. You can only fall in love with a person. You can only really love the person of Jesus. And you say, I see people who, can't we really love the idea or love the movement? You might love it, but you know what? It's not reciprocal. It's not going to love you back. You can't fall in love with it. It's not going to change your life. There's only one thing that's going to change my life, and it doesn't matter if I've been a believer, a follower of Jesus for a day or for a decade. And there's only one thing that's going to change your life, make your life better, and that's the person of Jesus. It's all about Him. Jesus said this. He said, and you've heard this before, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Did you hear that? Who's he talking about? For those people who are not followers of me, if you're not a follower of Jesus, Jesus says this, I'm the way. Why did he say that? Because you may try to make the way something else. You may spend your life on another way. I'm the truth. Why did he say that? Because each one of us is going to try and find some sort of meaning. There's going to be instances, there's going to be disasters, there's going to be hard times in our lives that throw us into disarray. And we're going to say, what's the meaning of this? Why am I here? Jesus said, I'm the truth. Then he said, I'm the life. Why did he say that? Because he knew that in the soul of every man and woman, that we're going to try to find life and meaning and purpose in something. And Jesus said, it's all about me. It's all about me. Not in some sort of look at me, aren't I great kind of attitude. But if you'll realize that it's all about me, you'll have life. And so to the seeker, he said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And to you and I, maybe who are followers of Christ this morning, you know what he would say? I am the system. I am the idea. I am the movement. It's not in anything else. I am the activity. I am the investment. I am the one that you spend your time on. It's all about me. And when you take the New Testament, if you were to take the entire New Testament and you were just to boil it down and you were to read it and you were to outline it and you were to write, okay, this is a theme and this is a theme and this is a theme and how does this connect with this? If you were to take it all and boil it down, you know what the New Testament says in its simplest form? That we are to come to know Jesus and become like Him. That's it. It's all about Him. We're to come to know Him and become like Him. And this morning, as an example, when you came in this morning and you were greeted by people at the maybe on the sidewalk and at the door, and as you came in this morning, the people that greeted you for one purpose, one reason. You know what the reason was? Jesus. The reason they greeted you was so that this morning that your experience might be that you would feel welcome, that you would feel joy, so that there would be barriers removed and that you might encounter Jesus the way that He meant to be encountered. When you dropped your kids off this morning, the children's workers, you know, the reason that they received you and the reason that they were kind to you and the reason that they showed joy and the reason that you felt good about it when you left your child there, the reason that they were there was one reason. It was the number one reason was the person of Christ. Why? So that your child might know who Jesus is. So that you could come in here and hear more about Jesus. That's what it was all about. The people who run sound, the reason they do that is so that in the way that you hear things this morning, you might hear all about the number one reason that you're here, that you could hear it clearly without distraction, because it's all about Him. And the songs that we sang this morning, the worship that we enjoyed and we encountered, was all about one reason, one person, all about Him. That's all that it was about. That's all that it's for. And the same is true in our lives. It's all about Him. Listen. And we're going to miss the mark, and we're going to have a fuzzy picture, and we're going to be in the wrong direction every time we make our day about something else. When you wake up your day, it's all about Him. Whether we recognize it or not, it is. It's about what you say with your mouth. God, the words that I say today, I want them to reflect Jesus, who He is. The ears that I have to listen to people today, I want to listen with the ears of Christ. I want to hear as you would hear other people. And I want to respond with my mouth the way you would respond. And with my hands, the way that I help people and the way that I see opportunities for me to serve and be selfless today. God, use my hands in a way that, how would Jesus use these hands? And with my feet, where I go and the decisions I make today about where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do with my time, I pray that you would take my feet and I would go places that Jesus would go today. And you would use my time in my job today. Jesus, how would you work this job? As a parent today, Jesus, how would you be a parent to my kids today? How would you do that? In everything, in the free time that I have, Jesus, how would you have me to spend my weekend? You know why? Because it's all about Him. every bit of it. It's all about Him. So why make it all about Him? Why do that? You know why? Because He's the only person that's ever existed that loved people selflessly, impartially. He's the only person that's ever existed that was completely truthful. Never tried to make anything bigger or smaller than it really was. He's the only person who's ever existed that His first priority was always the Father. He's the only person that's ever existed who was God. He's the only person who's ever existed that ran into a burning building to save you and died doing it. He's the only person who's ever existed in the history of man who jumped into a storm in the middle of the sea to rescue you, and He died doing it. And He's the only person to raise Himself from the dead. That's why. That's why it's all about Him. It's all about Him. And every time we begin to focus on something that's even spiritual or not spiritual, that's before Him, our life will be out of focus. We'll be on the wrong direction. But with Him, listen, if you're a seeker this morning, if you're someone who's not a follower of Christ, it really is that simple. Don't let me or any other Christian or any other tagline or term or title or anything that you've ever heard about what you think about it means to become a Christian, about what all the things that are going to have to, that's going to be different, that really aren't going to be different. Are you going to be different? You'll be different. But you'll be different in a way that looks like Jesus. Not how a lot of people have defined Him. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Christ and you hear me say it's all about Him, it really is that simple. It really is that simple. And if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Christ, that's what it means to be a Christian in the purest form. That's what it means to be a believer and follower of Christ in the purest form, is that it's all about Jesus and looking like Him. Let's pray together.